Welcome to the Retail Connections podcast series. Check out our other podcasts where we talk about retail in Asia, retail in the UK under lockdown, and the prospects for global fashion. Now, I caught up last week with Rhonda Texter, who is head of data science for Truefit. Truefit, as you may know, is a data-driven personalization platform for footwear and apparel retailers that uses rich connected data and machine learning to enable personal experiences for fashion retailers. It has organized the largest platform of apparel and footwear data through its partnerships with thousands of top brands, the world's leading retailers, and millions of customers. I asked Rhonda about how customer preferences can be applied by retailers all the way along the supply chain to improve sales, cut returns, meet sustainability targets, and make better predictions on what will sell through every channel.
Rhonda, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Right. So listen, let's start with the basics, because I think it does bear repeating, even though we see a lot of information out there about fit and how to improve that for purchasing online. But let's start with those basics. What is the problem with fit when we all buy clothes and indeed shoes and accessories online?
Fit is the number one problem with purchasing clothes and shoes online. And I say it's the number one problem because we see a 40% return rate for clothes and shoes that are bought online. So that's almost one out of every two items that's bought online gets returned, which is really high. And the top reason cited for those returns is fit. And so we see that in the data, and also intuitively, one of the big challenges with buying clothes online is that you don't get that experience where you get to actually try them on and see that the clothes fit on your body. And when we use the term fit at Truefit, we think about the concept of, one, can I physically get this on? Does it physically fit on my body? But then there's also this other component, which is, does it feel flattering? So not just, is this the right size for me, but does it fit me well? Is there the right amount of ease? And is it flattering?
So standardized fit is a fantasy, right? I mean, the idea that a size 7 is a size 7, et cetera, is nonsense, right?
Yes. And I think actually we talk a lot about how that would be nice in terms of knowing which sizes to buy, but I actually think we might end up with a worse experience. And one of the reasons for that is we often cite brands that fit us well. I've certainly experienced this myself, and a lot of my friends talk about how there's a particular brand and style of like pants or tops or something like that where they just fits them really well, and they know that they always go back to that particular item to replenish until it's no longer available. And I think one of the reasons for that is that brands have an idea of a consumer that they're designing for and what kind of body shape that consumer has. And so in some ways, if we did have standardization between brands, we would know which size to get, but that size might not fit us as well as some of the brands and sizes that we can currently get. So I think the trade-off is each of us has some brands that are better suited to us based on our shape and our physical dimensions, but the real challenge is finding them. And then when you find a new brand or you're interested in buying something new, or let's say even something that's sized in a completely different size system. So for example, I'm based in the United States. Sometimes I'm looking for shoes that are where the brand is based and they're manufactured in Europe, and there's a completely different numeric size system for shoes. So because there isn't standardization across different countries, that does mean that there's this big burden on the shopper to try to interpret that information and try to figure out what to buy, which is one of the problems that Truefit attempts to solve or solves. Because we have this data set that spans not only brands, but across different countries, across different continents. And we've mapped them all into what we call our universal size system. And so we can actually see how they all fit relative to each other which enables us to provide useful information and fit recommendations to consumers who are looking at new brands that maybe they haven't interacted before, maybe trying products in a brand that they're familiar with, but this is a brand new product. And often we see that there's some inconsistency in fit between individual styles within a brand. And for consumers who are trying brands that are sized in a completely different size system based in a completely different country for the first time.
So what do you need to know from the consumer? Because you're right, we're all individuals. We all have a particular idea about what fits us. And indeed, it fit, as I now understand from what you're saying, is to do with fit in the traditional sense, but also to do with our self-esteem and how we look and how we want to look. And clearly some people want to wear, say, a t-shirt tighter than someone else, even though they may be the same size. So there's a lot of complexity there. So how does the consumer sort of buy into that in order to give you the kind of data you need in order to enable the retailers or the brands to make the right kinds of recommendations?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. So the first part, what do we need from consumers? Our registration process asks for some basic information about the consumer themselves, things like height, weight, and age. And we also ask for a brand in a size in that brand that fits them well. And that's the piece that really tells us about their preference. And because we find that fit is this combination of your body, but then also how you like clothes to fit on your body. And I think that gets it. Maybe I like t-shirts that fit really tight. And in that case, you know, our philosophy at TrueFit is we're going to recommend you clothes the way that you like to wear them. We're not going to tell you how you should be wearing clothes. And if you want your clothes to fit tight, then we want to recommend other styles that fit that same way. Versus if you like things that are oversized and loose, we want to be able to provide you recommendations for other styles that fit that way. I think the second piece, then how do we turn that around in order to provide recommendations at different retailers? Once we have this information about the consumer, we have data for well over 100 million shoppers where they've provided this registration information and told us about one or more brands that fit them well. We also have all this historic data of those shoppers and what they actually bought and furthermore, what they actually kept. And we work with tens of thousands of brands to get information on brands. We have hundreds of retail partners that are supplying us with data on the actual products themselves so that we can understand products. But then the key is this history of shoppers buying and keeping these products, which is what enables us to match up. You know, someone with these particular characteristics and fit preferences is likely to like styles that fit this way or prefers this particular size or size in this range. And that's how we make the recommendations.
Now we've talked about fit, but I believe that TrueFit's gone further than that in order to provide or enable both the consumers and the brands, or specifically the consumers, to just have a more seamless, if you like, a more rewarding journey through a brand story, if you like, online. I guess ultimately it is about people buying things that they love and keep, but there's a bit more to it than that rather than just fit, isn't there? Because presumably once I can get customers to talk about fit, I can get them to talk about other things, other preferences. Is that right?
Yes, there's one aspect which, as you've pointed out, once your users, once your consumers, once the retailers themselves are comfortable with providing data in order to get the value, which is a good fit recommendation in order to make that connection, they're providing the right type of data that you need to make other recommendations. And that was part of our expansion into providing more general recommendations beyond just size and fit in order to improve the overall shopping experience. And second piece is that we've recognized that providing that fit recommendation is useful, but that comes at the very end of the online shopping experience in a way. So if you think about the process by which someone identify something that they want to buy. And then when they're ready to add it to their cart, that's when they're deciding which size to get. That's where they get a fit recommendation that helps them get that right size. And so instead of merely having that influence at the very end of that journey to add an item to cart and to purchase it, we realized that there was a huge opportunity to reduce a lot of the friction associated with online shopping much earlier. And so the idea is that when a shopper goes to a retailer page, they get, you know, they arrive at what's known as the landing page and often have a selection of styles that are recommended to them right on that landing page. And you can use information that the shopper's already provided in order to get the size recommendation to help filter and provide more relevant results to that shopper at the beginning. There's also a lot of opportunity to provide new pathways to browse and search and explore, all in the service of helping the shopper more quickly with action find the thing that they're actually looking for. And then at the very end, we're still able to provide that recommendation. And so now we have, using our data platform, we're able to provide more tools that help during that full shopper journey when they're online shopping.
Talk me through the benefits for the brands. I mean, I suppose the most obvious one is that customers are going to keep stuff, therefore they're not going to return it, and the brand or retailer therefore is able to maintain a decent margin because they're not having to replace something or take it back and at worst not replace it. But what are the other commercial benefits for brands of having your technologies?
So far, we've really talked a lot about the benefits to the consumer. I think one of the things that I find exciting about working on these problems is that this is very much win-win for both the consumers and the brands. As you mentioned, when consumers find what they want and don't return it, that's beneficial to the brands and the retailers because they've been able to make a sale, they've cut down on returns, and in some ways that's beneficial to everyone because when someone makes a return, there's a lot of waste involved, both in the shipping and in that item potentially not being available for sale again. I think there's been a lot of resistance to adopting online shopping, especially in the fashion space. I think that there is a lot of friction. And I think a lot of people are skeptical that they are able to find something that fits them well, or that they're able to navigate a site, or that they're able to find something without, say, the help of a salesperson in store. But we see that a lot of people are trying online shopping for clothes and shoes, maybe for the first time, certainly for the first time in a long time. And there's this opportunity to make it a pleasant experience, or certainly to surpass their expectations. There may be low expectations in terms of the ease of the shopping experience, which I think is much more likely to lead to more return visits in the future, versus if, you know, we see that there's this big jump in online shopping right now, and if that shopping experience is as painful as someone kind of who's been reluctant to adopt in the past expects it to be, then I think it's going to be even longer before someone comes back, perhaps out of necessity in the future. And we certainly see in our metrics, and this is part of our value proposition to retailers and brands, that the retailers and brands are looking to establish relationships with customers because they recognize that a lot of the customers that are really driving a lot of the value and a lot of the revenue to the brand are these repeat customers. And having a more pleasant online shopping experience, having these tools that enable someone to get the right size and not have to go through the pain of making a return and go through the pain of having something arrive and be disappointing. You know, people who are able to find what they're looking to buy in the first place are much more likely to then be a repeat customer, which is a really good proposition for brands and retailers.
Yeah, and I think we've we've seen some interesting statistics, or certainly some indicators, that people who would not traditionally have bought online are now kind of in a position where they don't have a choice and therefore are trying it for the first time and actually finding it is a lot easier. And I suppose we all hope that there will, that kind of trend will continue after we get back to some kind of a normal. I don't know if you have a view on the role of the store, because clearly you are providing technologies to companies that sell online, although indeed some of those customers that you've got also have stores as well. Do you think your technologies have a role to play in that dreadful expression, omni-channel or multi-channel world?
Yes, for sure. I think that my business is to help make the, specifically the online shopping experience, better, and to provide tools for online shopping. At least that's what I do. But I don't think that algorithms and AI are going to either replace the need for physical stores or replace the need for humans. And I think that there's, even as a consumer, there's an experience associated with going in a physical store that is not replicated online. And I'm looking forward to when it is safe to go and visit physical stores again, because that's something that I enjoy doing as a shopper. But I also, often it's not necessarily convenient to go to a physical store. And so it's nice to also have the option to shop online, even when it's not the only option. And I think a lot of what I think about on the technology side is how do we make technology that works well with kind of this integrated environment. For example, we do a lot of work to think about how to make relevant recommendations to someone who shows up at a website. But you could also think about having those recommendations available, having that shopper profile available to the retail associate on the floor, who's also trying to figure out how to filter out a lot of the nonsense and a lot of the relevant items to the shopper who's in the store. So I think there's a lot of opportunity to do things like that and provide that relevant information in omni-channel ways so that it's also available when the shopper goes to a physical store.
Yeah, and I think we're seeing some acceleration in those kind of behaviors, which may well survive. You refer to your entire sort of data pool as a genome. I think what I'm interested to know is, given the sheer numbers of consumers you're tapped into in terms of their preferences, and indeed the retailers and the brands in terms of their sizing, is how do you think over time, here, big question for you, Rhonda, sorry about this, that the genome is likely to influence in the future the way that brands design, source, manufacture, price, and sell clothes and shoes?
It's interesting. I think we're seeing a lot of the seeds being planted now. We're going to see that whole supply chain process, the merchandising process, the marketing process really changing and being more data driven. I had the privilege to attend multiple data science conferences or multiple technology conferences for retail in the past year. And it seemed like every big retailer and brand that was fairly tech savvy had a data science team that was thinking about the supply chain, thinking about merchandising. And we've certainly been involved in some conversations with brands because fit is in our DNA, and that's the problem we've worked on the longest. I can provide some examples there where, for example, brands ask questions like, we're thinking about changing our sizing, or we're thinking about offering more extended sizing because we have this belief that we're losing out on customers because they can't fit into our current offerings. But that's a really big investment. That's a really expensive change to make. You know, can we provide them with some data that would justify that choice, or would help decide what those new sizes should be and how many they can make? And I think there's also a lot of data science being used to predict what some preferences are, being used to optimize assortments that individual stores are planning. There's certainly a lot of retailers are using predictive algorithms to help them optimize how many or what percentage of different sizes they should order in a particular style, which is obviously beneficial to them because it helps them to not waste as much inventory and to sell the inventory that they have. But it's also beneficial to the consumer who's trying to buy something that they like and wants it to be available in their size. I think we've all had the experience when we've shopped online where we finally find the thing that we love that we want to buy only to see, oh, it's not available in my size, or, you know, it's only available in these weird sizes at the ends of the distribution. And so we're certainly seeing a lot of opportunities there. And I think also as there's a lot more socially, there's a lot more pressure on brands and retailers to waste less. I think there's going to be a lot of pressure both financially and socially to optimize that supply chain. And so, for example, there are clearly retailers in fast fashion who are already doing things where a much tighter connection to the data and what's currently selling in order to very quickly trigger manufacturing and ordering of more styles that are selling quicker. And so I think there's an opportunity to be a lot more responsive to what's going on in the market and being much more market driven in the future using data.
I think you're right. I think sustainability was kind of a conversation that we were having a few years ago. And I think everybody was thinking, well, it's going to come at some point, but actually, you know, I've got other things to worry about. But our view, and I think yours as well, is that certainly after attending NRF back in January, this is real for consumers. And I think it will only become more important in this current crisis as consumers look even more closely at their favorite brands and try to understand what they're doing to be helpful in this particular crisis. And indeed, they certainly have stepped up in terms of manufacturing PPE equipment and that kind of thing. But I can certainly see on the other side of this, even more focus being turned onto the brands in terms of where they manufacture, how they move goods around, what their policies are on waste and so on and so on. And my understanding from you is that you have the data to enable the brands and the retailers to mitigate some of the mistakes, if you like, that they make all the way along that supply chain.
Yes, I think there is a lot of opportunity to leverage data in a smarter way to make better predictions and to make better orders in the first place. But I think there's also an opportunity using data to change some of the timelines and make maybe some much bigger systemic changes in order to be responsive to the market. Because I think you hit on the situation that we're in currently. And I don't think that there's any algorithm that would have predicted this and would have predicted, for example, the spike in activewear and loungewear. And you know, obviously there are a lot of designs that were made for the spring that are sitting in inventory. And so I think there's this part of acknowledging that, hey, we can do much better in predicting some things, but there's a limit. There are some big global events and some trends that are hard to predict. And so figuring out how to be smarter in the whole system in order to be more responsive to what's actually happening versus kind of planning for sales cycle months and months in advance before we kind of know what's happening. We're always going to be subject to like big unpredictable changes if we continue doing that.
So you're in Boston, I'm in the UK, and the Prime Minister's just announced that they're not going to raise the restrictions for the time being. So I think we're in lockdown for a little longer. I don't know how things are in Boston. The reason I ask you is that I'm just wondering what your big plan is once you're allowed out. Are you going to go straight to your fashion retailer of choice and buy yourself the best dress you ever bought in your life? What are your plans?
Actually, so that's an interesting question. I've continued to shop online. I think I definitely trying to think of the right word, whether it's like eat the dog food is an expression that at least we used to use in Microsoft when we would use a lot of the internal tools on our own teams. But I work solutions for online shopping, and as part of that, I do a lot of online shopping to kind of understand what works well and what doesn't work well and as a means to improving it. So I feel like when the restrictions lift, I'm not so much missing the shopping. I think it's going to be more about going out to a restaurant with friends. And I've been shopping all along.
wearing the dress you bought that you love and I'm going to keep.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I may be not buying as many dresses right now, but certainly buying, you know, some activewear and things with a little bit more give and a little more focused on comfort. But I think for me, it's not the most like essential thing, but I still enjoy when kind of the excitement when something that I ordered online actually shows up at my door and I try it on and most of the time it fits. So those have been some of the bright spots during all of this.
Good, good. No, I'm glad to hear it. Rhonda, thank you so much for talking with us. Absolutely fascinating. It's clearly another tool in the armory that the fashion industry has in order to enable us to find the things that we want, which indeed can often be quite a challenge online. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure.
If you want to hear our other podcasts, please log on to www.retailconnections.co.uk.